Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Bronx Nation Podcast. And as per usual, we've got myself and Dylan. And next week, we've got Reese coming back. But this week, we've... Sorry, yeah, next week, we've got Reese coming back. This week, we've got Trent returning, for obviously, to gloat over us for his mighty Panthers. But also, as a, you know, guest, we always love having those who support us. So we'll support them. Before we get stuck into, obviously, the topics of the episode, we will... give a little bit of a sponsorship intro and whatnot. Energy Pro, obviously, guys, it's where it's at. You know, this is my protein water. I've literally just woken up about an hour ago, so I'm about to pound this. If you want some caffeine loaded, ones you've got Arctic Rush, and honestly, that's my favorite flavor as well, if I'm being honest. First of all, Trent, take it away with what Energy Pro is.
Mate, Energy Pro, I guess, is the new way to drink protein. It's in water form, whether you need that caffeine boost or an extra protein kick. We've got four flavors that cater for all of those extra bits of nutrition that you need. Right now I'm actually having a super berry as well. I think I was having the same one last week.
I'm literally itching to try it's that flavor. I really am.
It's on its way, so hopefully you get it before Easter, if not just after. Unreal. We've actually recently enhanced our formula as well. So you'll notice on the next batch that we're forever reinventing the wheel, so to speak, and they'll be bigger than better than ever.
Oh, ripper. And also a shout out to our other sponsor, Toey Thongs. They are honestly the comfiest thongs that I've ever owned and worn. They are better than Havaianas, and I'm willing to die on that hill. They are comfy right as, like, straight out of the packet. As soon as you get them, they are so comfy. They are the official footwear of Bronx Nation Podcast. Use our code BronxNation10 for 10% off at checkout there. Also, be sure to head over to Energy Pro, the official drink of Bronx Nation Podcast, and use our code BN10 for 10% off at checkout. Rightio, guys. The Energy Pro round review. I mean, Energy Pro will be more like energy gloat this weekend. So this week, and with good reason, but not without controversy either. So first of all, obviously, to anyone who's living under a rock and is a Broncos fan who didn't see the game, obviously the Panthers ran out comfortable winners 34-12, but not without a little bit of a how you going head clash in the opening minutes of the game between Taylan May and Reece Walsh. Now, the people are up in arms of the, you know, the injury that resulted from it, not just the HIA that he passed, but it was due to him having blurred vision as to why he didn't return onto the field. A lot of people, including former players, have stated that, you know, Taylan May, should he have been penalized? Should he have been sin binned? This, that, the other. I'm trying to remove my Broncos bias when it comes to this, because it's, you know, Broncos player, Broncos superstar by no stretch of the imagination, Reece Walsh. I would like to think that if it was any other player on any other team as well, Taylan May gets penalized regardless if it's playing against the Broncos, because, and a former Rabbitohs legend, I can't remember his name, I think it was Craig Tiger Coleman, literally said, and I'm using this, I'm not quoting it verbatim, I'm just more paraphrasing, but he said along the lines of, just teach him to tackle properly. Obviously, not everyone's supposed to be expected to bend, obviously, but if, as a defender, it's your somewhat obligation to not have any contact with the head of any sort, whether it's your shoulder to their head or your head to their head. So as a defender, you've literally created foul play by letting you contact to the head with your head. I don't think it's worthy of suspension. I don't think it's worthy of maybe a sin bin. I think just a penalty and then continue with the game. Unfortunately, obviously, Reece Walsh, you know, weeks out with a fractured cheekbone, etc. It'll vary from player to player. That's why I think it's only a penalizable offense and not a suspendable offense, because every player's reaction, if they get hit in the head with someone else's face, will be different. Someone may not come out with a concussed fucking cut on their face. That's more, you've got to treat it as it happens, and I think a penalty will suffice. That's just my opinion, guys. I'll cross it over to Trent as the resident Panthers fan, you could say, on the episode. What are your thoughts on all of it?
Look, yeah, definitely. I think the NRL needs to come up with some black and white rules with the obstruction. Obviously, there was a bit of conjecture over the weekend with some of those rulings too. I think, like, even, Dale Finucane and the Pole incident, was an accidental head clash as well. Yeah, sort of nothing happened from that
Exactly. They
incident.
need to be
So,
consistent about it.
yeah, I think there needs to be a rule in place. Contact to the head's contact to the head. I think they got it right in the Broncos game, to be fair. Penalty, yes. Suspension.
I
Look,
don't think
again,
so
it
because
depends.
every player,
Yeah.
yeah, is different with
Yeah.
how they react to being hit in the head.
Yeah. Look, I. It depends what angle you look at, whether you look at it normal speed,
I saw
slow-mo.
no malice in the tackle, you know.
Yeah, Taylor May was a good read. Obviously, Reece Walsh being, lightning quick. He was basically sort of tried to pull out at the last minute, obviously resulted in that head clash. And, unfortunately for Walsh, he spells some time on the sidelines. If he wasn't on the sidelines, I'd be interested to see how the reaction would be.
Absolutely agreed. What are your thoughts on it all, Dylan?
I think that it's pretty careless or reckless, however you might want to use it, for Taylor May to go in the way he did. Pretty similar to Dale Finucane a few years ago. I remember Dylan Napa on Corbin Sims about
I
5 years
remember that
ago.
one.
That was another one. It's just I agree with the referee. He said duty of care. You got to duck into the contact, and he didn't. So it is careless. I think a penalty is sufficient. I don't know about suspension, maybe a week, but I'm pretty happy with the way they've handled it, to be honest.
So am I, absolutely. I think
Yeah.
any contact with the head, as in head on head, and it's a one-on-one in particular, I think when it's a one-on-one tackle such as Taylor May with Reece Walsh and it's head on head sort of clash, I think penalize the defending team, but nothing more than that, because as we've all just said, penalizing was the right way to go about it. Suspension, depending if you can see there's malice or intent, but I don't think there was. And I think obviously this is all our thoughts and speculations, of course. I just think, consistency should be penalize the defending team and move on, because every other team, every player reacts differently. One player may not even be concussed at all. One player may not have their cheek split from it, sort of thing. If it was any other player, they may have been fine as a daisy. Just obviously have to
Yeah.
go from the independent doctor for a HIA. But you know what I mean? I think that, as Dylan said, the refs handled it well. I'm glad we all agree with that. Now, obviously, the scoreline definitely wasn't nice. The Broncos were missing Payne Haas, one of our key forwards. The Broncos were missing our key fullback literally from early on in the game, and Adam Reynolds. Now, obviously, that's not us using excuses, because injuries are not excuses when it comes to form or whatever. However, that being said, when you have those three absolute dominant fucking forces in, like, out, as in two out and one out early in the game, it definitely sets a precedent for a game that I'm surprised the Broncos managed to keep the Panthers to 34 after that, if I'm being absolutely and realistically honest as a fan. Dylan, what are your thoughts on the score outcome of that game?
Oh, I'm with you. I was a bit worried it would have been blown out to 50 or 60 or 70 even. But
You
I
know what,
thought
2 years ago,
they
it would have 2 years ago, I reckon.
Yeah, I agree. I think yeah, we sort of defended really well. I know the scoreline doesn't say that, but we sort of defended pretty well the back end of the game. And again, our wing is superb, like taking them early hit ups in the inside our own half just get us out of trouble every time. So big raps on Jesse Arthurs and Dean Mariner.
Absolutely. And Trent, what are your thoughts? Obviously, as a Panthers fan, you'd be happy with the scoreline, but how do you think the game played out? Because you were there yourself.
Yeah, look, at the ground, to be honest, the Broncos didn't do too much wrong. As you said, Penrith, to be fair, like they were clinical in the first half, like extremely clinical. It's probably the best half we played for a long, long time. The thing that you get when you play against Penrith, albeit, biased, but I think everyone can agree, is you're not going to get those little mistakes or opportunities that you get when you play other teams, especially at Penrith's home ground. So for Broncos to show the resilience they did when it was 34 to 2, 10, 15 minutes into the second half, or even 5 minutes into the second half, or whatever it was. Yeah, it could have been anything. I don't know whether that was, it was probably a combination of, Penrith, pulling up stumps a little bit, but at the same time, Broncos showing that resilience. And yeah, you're right. Probably 2 years ago, they probably would have folded over and, blown out significantly. But yeah, it was just interesting. I thought in the press conference, how humble, from a Panthers perspective, Nathan Cleary is. I know he his hamstring, but the fact that ball playing doesn't come natural to him and something that he's constantly working on, and how well he did that in the first half was impressive from my perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. Credit goes to him for that. And while we're talking on it, obviously Adam Reynolds was out, but he is back for this week's game against the Cowboys for the Broncos, but we'll touch on that later on. Casualty ward. Obviously, Tino Fasormalawe is out for the rest of the season, having done his ACL, which is a big out for Queensland State of Origin, a big out for Australia in rep season at the end of the year if there is rep games. Big out for the Titans, of course. And yeah, just unfortunate. We definitely wish him a speedy recovery. But speaking of the casualty ward, as I just mentioned, Adam Reynolds is back. He is named at starting halfback for the Broncos against the Cowboys. And Corey Oates slots into the starting lineup again. Well, not starting lineup, but the starting 18 for this week to go up against the Cowboys. We'll talk about that in a second. But Dylan, where do the Broncos need to be better this week to defeat the Cowboys?
As Trent said, they didn't do too much wrong last week. I think our kicking game let us down a bit. Just going long and high. Just I think Adam Reynolds kicking into the corner, putting the wingers under pressure, is pretty much the go. And winning it through the middle, opening up the offloads, Tristan Taylor running through. Adam Reynolds back is a big in.
Oh, absolutely. And I reckon Tristan Taylor will do a job. I think Reece Walsh, when he comes back, will have to fight for his starting fullback position because I think we can expect big things from Tristan Taylor. Now, speaking of, I'll quickly run through the team lists for the Broncos versus Cowboys. 8 p.m. New South Wales time, 7 p.m. Queensland time. It's going to be a fucking ripper of a game. So fullback, we've got Tristan Saylor. Wingers, we've got Jesse Arthurs and Dean Mariner. In the centers, we've got Katoni Staggs and Selwyn Cobbo. In the halves, we've got Ezra Mam and Adam Reynolds. In the props, we've got Corey Jensen and Fletcher Baker. Hooker, Billy Walters. Second rows, we've got Jaden Hunt and Jordan Ricci locking it up with Patrick Carrigan. Interchange, Tyson Smoothie, Xavier Willison, Kobe Hetherington, and Corey Oates. 18th man, Benjamin Takura. Obviously, the Cowboys are relatively unchanged from last week. We've got fullback Scotty Drinkwater, wingers Kyle Felt and Murray Taulagi, centers Zach Laibert and Valentine Holmes, the halves Tom Dearden being captain and Chad Townsend, props Jordan McLean and Jason Taumalolo, hooker Reece Robson, second rowers Cooley Kefu Finifuaki and Jeremiah Nanai. In the locks, you got Reuben Cotter. Interchange, Jake Granville, Griffin Neame, Sam McIntyre, and Jack Kaczewski with the number 18, Tom Chester. But yeah, definitely agree with where we need to take him on, Dylan. Obviously, who steps up in the absence of Haas, Walsh, and obviously Reynolds is now back, luckily. Who do you think needs to step up? Even if it's not the players who are necessarily replacing their positions, who do you think needs to step up?
The front rows are the big ones in the absence of Haas. We got no Brendan Piakira.
Yeah,
I said that
Piakora.
right. So Jaden Hunt, I haven't seen much of him. He's from the Dragons, so he gets his Broncos debut. But yeah, just the wingers need to keep doing their thing, taking the early runs inside our own half. And yeah, outside backs are the real key. I think last week with Cowboys that they'd like to nod off here and there. So I think if Cowboys can have their best game of the year against the Broncos, then we need to be really on. No errors, wrapping the ball up, stuff like that.
Absolutely. And we will get to see that glorious retro jersey this weekend going up against the Cowboys. It
Yes.
will look absolutely tasty in real life on TV. Obviously, I'll cross over to Trent. What are your match prediction for the Broncos Cowboys and first try scorer?
Oh, I think it'll be a really high scoring game. As we mentioned before, Cowboys, they can score points quick and so can the Broncos. But both teams so far this season have sort of clocked off at certain moments in the game. I believe first try scorer is going to be Jesse Arthurs. And I'm thinking the Broncos to win in Golden Point.
Ooh, that'd be a good one. I'm gonna go
Nice.
Broncos to win by four. I won't go to Golden Point, and I'm gonna put, if I have to go with a first time try scorer, I hate doing that. I hate going first try scorer, but I'll go Tristan Saylor. Dylan, what's your prediction for the game?
I'm gonna go first try scorer, Jaden Hunt on Broncos debut,
Okay,
second
really?
rower.
Yep.
And
Nice.
Broncos by 12.
I was gonna say 13+. Jeez, you almost went there. Alrighty, yeah.
Close.
Obviously, quick shout out to Darren Lockyer. Happy birthday to, the legend of Brisbane. 47th birthday on Sunday, just gone. Absolutely bloody happy birthday. Rightio, what's this next one? Yeah, no, I'm not prepared to do that. So the next topic was, are any of us prepared to pick our 17 for Queensland after 3 rounds? No fucking way. Because Reece, we because if so, we can't pick Reece Walsh.
Well, I'll have Munster and Cherry Evans in there. That's my team so far.
Yeah, fair.
Well, who knows about Munster as well?
Exactly. Well,
Yeah, that's true.
only Cameron Smith does, apparently.
Well,
Did
then
you
I
see
would have
the
Tom Dearden
interview?
in there.
What's up, Trent?
Did you see the recent interview?
Yeah.
Like in
Yeah, I did.
literally 24 hours ago.
Yeah, I
He
think it
doesn't
was
even
about
know
that.
if he might play this season.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
Which is, yeah, that's what I mean. I wouldn't be picking Munster yet. I wouldn't be picking Walsh or DCE yet, Dylan. That's what I'm saying. After round three, no fucking way am I picking an Origin side.
Yeah.
I'm not brave enough to do that. All four teams that travel to Las Vegas, Souths, Roosters, Broncos, and Manly, have not beaten a side that didn't travel to Vegas yet. Dylan says, is this an early sign that those four teams are disadvantaged with travel? I say no. Because of those teams, only one of them is still winless. That's unfortunately just how it is. The Souths are 0-3, and they've gone again, decided to keep Lachlan Ilias out of the side. Dean Hawkins continues at halfback this week. Roosters have had 2-1. Broncos are 1-2. Manly, I think, yeah, they're 1-2 as well. They came bloody close against Para on the weekend. I think they were fucking gypped by the video ref saying that obstruction, that was bullshit, in every sense of the word, when it came to that disallowed try, like actual bullshit. I don't think it was a disadvantage. And you know what? The only way we'll find out is whoever the four teams are next year and the NRLW team is next year as well. Because the NRL have announced they're going to take an NRLW team, two teams over there, and do a three games. And also, speaking of the NRLW, the Bulldogs will be in the NRLW in 2025. Dylan, what are your thoughts on all of that, the Vegas and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, it's an interesting point. That's why I put it in there. There's another one, Penrith. They travelled to UK and got back a week before their first game and they lost to Melbourne. So, I mean, we'll never know for sure, but the results pretty much suggest that. But, oh, yeah, it's hard to say.
I reckon, I genuinely think we can wait. We'll have to wait and see in Vegas next year.
Look, when I went to Europe, when I went to Europe last year, I come back. And I was jet lagged for a week or two and played Oztag and I just had no energy. Like playing Oztag at 6 o'clock at night, I just had no energy. And Robert, the referee who come with me to Europe, he was the same. He was making bad calls, and that, and just makes me think that jet lag is a real thing, especially when it comes to
Possibly.
professional sport.
Possibly. However, when you think about it, the Broncos had an 11-day turnaround from that
Yeah.
Vegas game, and there was two other teams that they played each other that following round. They had a 14-day turnaround because they played on the Sunday, so they had 2 weeks. They probably had a day or two still in Vegas after that, as we saw on social media monitor. But that's still more or less 2 weeks for the teams that played on Sunday. So, again, I'm not sure if it was a disadvantage. What are your thoughts, Trent?
Yeah, look, I don't think it was a massive disadvantage, but 100% jet lag is a real thing. I think it varies from player to player, but I think it comes down to how each club managed their players as well. I'd be interested to know what their training schedule looked like, what their
If they've
post-match
got Energy
recovery looked
Pro in
like.
their system to
Yeah,
make sure they've got
they
their
had Energy
caffeine and
Pro, they
protein.
would have been right. Yeah, look. All the teams have started clunky in, well, not really. You've got Seagulls and Roosters who you could say are flying.
Yeah.
And then the other two teams who are battling, but Rabbitohs and Broncos have got legitimate excuses with the injuries that they've had, and yeah, who knows where the Rabbitohs are at right now? They're in shambles. So hopefully they can scrap a result together this weekend. Yeah, look, 11 days should be long enough. Particularly, they probably fly business class. They would have had, did they party in Vegas after the games? Like, who knows?
Surely. I mean, surely they
Sure.
would have, because they didn't fly back out immediately. They flew back like 2 or so days later. But as I just said, the Roosters played Manly on the Sunday, so like as in afterwards. So that's 2 weeks, more or less. Not just the Broncos, Rabbitohs, who had the Thursday night game, which was a little
I
bit
think it's
shorter.
more routine. Like you do an intense preseason, then you have to fly over to Vegas, which I can only imagine based on feedback that we got via social media, and on TV, etc., that it was a pretty lax trip, one to be enjoyed, not too intense, soak it all in, which is fair. And I back the NRL for doing that, but it sort of throws out your routine. When you're used to being a professional athlete training, 4 or 5 times a week, sometimes multiple times a day, and then going into a, let's say, more
One
relaxed
session a
party, soak
day.
it in the atmosphere. I mean, you see it happen, grand final week sometimes for some teams when they go into Origin camp. Results all around that time are always a little bit off. So I'd be keen to see what happens after round 6 or 7, and then we could probably judge on whether there was a Vegas hangover or not.
Yeah, fair. That's fair enough. And going around the grounds, non-Broncos news, Queensland, New South Wales Cup, etc. Obviously, Breanna Raymond made her home game debut, not debut, but home game debut for Tweed Seagulls this past weekend. Congratulations on getting a home debut and getting a home debut win for the Tweed Seagulls against the Burley Bears in the BMD Cup or BMD Premiership. Anyone who's listening, that's basically the Q Cup for women. It's like the reserve grade for the NRLW. Well done, Brianna. And Dylan has a few things on that game in particular.
Well done, Brianna. But the number 6 for Burley really stood out for me. Sahara
Zahara Tamari.
Tomato first camera, that's right. She stood out. She just looked threatening every time she had the ball. She was just and she put the kick into Brianna's corner. I think it was about 20 seconds to go, and the Seagulls were up by 4, and Brianna pretty much saved the game. So, but I'm not sure about Sahara Tamara, but she's got a big future ahead of her.
About Zahara or Brianna?
Yeah, Sahara.
Oh, Zahara's already doing the future. She's playing for New Zealand,
I know, but
Kiwi Ferns, all that sort of stuff. Now that's she's oh, it's absolutely ripper to see her ripping and tearing in. Also, shout out to Chelsea Lenarduzzi for doing so well in that game as well. And also again, Brianna, well done for holding your own against a team that's stacked with NRLW players. Honestly, and not just NRLW players, Jillaroos, grand final winners. Congratulations to you, and let's hope that you do listen and see this because you've done well. You've done you could say the Raymond family proud. You've done Uncle Dylan proud, etc.
Yeah, just needs to do some goal kicking practice, I
Abso-bloody-lutely she
think.
does. Alrighty-o, it's time for trivia. Dylan, trivia questions. Is it 5 questions this week as well?
Five questions. Yep.
I don't think
Same,
I'll ever.
same.
You know what? Actually, because trainers return, I think I might get 5 from 5 again because that was luck
Let's uh
and for good
let's
luck.
let's hope to avoid some embarrassment this week.
Okay, let's go.
Okay, so there's the first two questions. I'm hoping you see much of the Matty John shows, because these questions are off the Matty
I
John
don't
show.
watch the Matty John show.
Oh, that's good. Okay, so question one: which player lost in the 2009, 2011, and 2012 grand finals with three different clubs? This is for 3 points.
What years?
2009, 11, and 12 with three
Okay,
different
so that
clubs.
With three different
2009
clubs.
to. So I'm just trying to think, 2009, 2011, 2012. 2011, it was the Warriors that lost. 2012, it was. And so 2011, 2009, it was Para that lost. 2011, it was the Waz that lost. It's not James Maloney because he lost 2011, not 09. Para. Was and 2012. Fucking who won 2012?
Melbourne.
Melbourne won, that's right.
Melbourne won. Who'd they
So yeah,
beat?
I'm, yeah, who'd they beat?
Doggies.
Doggies. Okay, so Doggies, Waz, and Eels. I'm gonna say, Chris Keating.
Chris Keating.
That's a big guess. Big guess.
Doggies, Waz, and I'm the only player that sticks out, but I don't know if he played for the Warriors, but Rennie Matua?
Ooh, could have been Rennie.
No, both incorrect. There's actually Chris Nanninu.
Oh, yep. Jeez, what a that's so unfortunate. Three grand final losses across like 4-ish years.
Yeah.
Shout out
I
to
think
Chris Keating. He's
Dale
coming on
Finucane.
Life in Sport in about a month. Yep.
Nice. I think Dale Finucane also had the same situation, but he won one in the end.
Yeah, good one.
So question two, which played more recently in a finals game? Darren Lockyer or the West Tigers?
In a grand final game, Darren Lockyer.
No, in a
Yep.
finals game.
A
Finals
finals
game.
game,
Oh, final.
Tigers.
In a finals game.
Oh, hold up. In a finals
I'm gonna
game,
go
because
Darren
Darren
Lockyer.
Lockyer's, yeah, would be. I'll stick with what I said, Tigers, so you can get the points. But I just thought of it because Darren Lockyer went out in the semi-final because he got injured, and the Tigers played in the
They
finals
haven't
in
made the
2011.
finals since.
2011, which was Lockyer's last season.
Let's see.
Yeah, let's find out.
So what'd you say, CJ? Sorry.
I said Tigers. He said, I'm sticking with that. And Trent said Lockie.
Yeah, Trent's right. It's Lockyer by one day.
By one
One
day. Yep.
day.
Okay.
Wow.
Fuck.
Yeah,
Ripper.
so Trent leads 1-0.
Okay.
Question three. There's three Xaviers currently playing in the NRL. Can you name them all? Coates,
Coates,
Abbey,
Willison,
and
and
Wilson for
Savage.
1 point.
Yeah, Coates, Willison, and Savage.
Yep, both
Yeah,
correct.
we both got that. Yeah.
Easy. What are you up to? Question four, who am I?
Fuck.
Let's start with a very hard. I am Brisbane Bronco number 215 for 5 points.
Steve. Oh, no, it wouldn't be Steve Renoff. He'd be like number 40 something. Two what?
215.
215.
215.
Okay.
Kevin Walters.
No, he started playing for the Broncos in the early 90s. And the Broncos come in 88, so I don't think he'd be in the triple digits. I'm going to say 215. Fuck, this is a good fucking test. Because I got it last week with just the number. Like, fuck.
Broncos.
215. Let's go with Tame Tupou.
What did Trent say? Kevin Walters?
Yeah.
Yeah, not even
Yeah,
close.
both incorrect. Both incorrect.
Okay.
Okay, moving on to hard for 4 points. I am Indigenous and have featured for the Indigenous All-Stars on three occasions.
Tony Staggs. No, James Roberts. Yeah, that's my guess. James Roberts.
Indigenous All-Stars on
I know
three
my leg
occasions.
is probably Katoni. Fucking hell. But yeah, I'll go James Roberts.
Bronco, what was Bronco's number? 200 and
215, 215.
oh, for the sake of it, we'll lock in Katoni.
It'll be one of us.
It's James Roberts.
Yeah, oh, what?
No.
What? You see, the only reason that I said James Roberts was because Dylan's mate Reese knows James Roberts, and we've been talking about him over the last few weeks. So I
Yeah.
thought maybe it'll be him. Fuck, okay. So 4 points. So now I'm ahead of Trent in the
So
points.
yeah, Jimmy the Jet.
Jimmy the
And
Jet.
this last one, 3 points.
Oh,
Who
fuck.
had more sets out of the Panthers versus Broncos game?
In which game? Like this week just gone?
Yeah.
More
Panthers.
set, as in more sets or more completed sets?
More sets, whether they're completed or not.
Panthers, surely.
Well, I'm going to say Broncos because, one of us is going to be right, one of us is going to be wrong. Just for the lols.
Yes, Broncos. They completed 30 out of 39. Panthers 33 out of 38.
Wow. That's a fucking guess.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's
So
flattering or embarrassing.
don't know. I don't know. They completed three more but had one less set. That's interesting.
Embarrassing on our part, I think.
Yeah, I think so. So I won again. Just
You
by
did.
scraping at the end.
Too good.
8-2. 8-2.
Jeez. Fuck. I just said James Roberts because I'm like, you know what? No, my like it's now Cotone because I've said Cotone. Rightio. Our next topic is three standout teams and players so far in 2024. Well, it's pretty bloody early, but rated for me, three teams would be Raiders, Cowboys, and the Bulldogs. People are thinking, why the Bulldogs? What would stand out? Like, bruh, 32-0. Obviously they're not world beaters, like the Titans made them seem. But they're going to turn heads. I think that's a sign of things to come. They're not going to finish in the eight, but they're definitely not going to be cellar dwellers in the bottom four. So I think we can expect some decent wins from the Bulldogs for the rest of the year. And obviously, Raiders and Cowboys goes without saying as to why I think, you know, they're standouts this season so far. What are your thoughts, Trent?
I'm going to go with the three obvious ones for most people, the Roosters, the Eagles, and Cowboys. From the Roosters, I've been really impressed by I'm mind blank now. The lock, Victor Radley.
Victor the
Been
Inflictor.
unbelievable. Last few years, Lena been a little bit off. I think he's been fantastic, Linkman, just doing the simple things, you know, run hard, tackle hard. You know, not getting suspended this time around as well, which helps.
Yet.
From the Seagulls, definitely Luke Brooks.
I was gonna say Brooksy. I would
Yeah.
definitely say he's a standout, yeah.
It's I think everyone's happy for him, to be honest. He's had a few, oh, not a few, a lot
A
of
decade.
pressure
Yeah.
on him. And you can just see like the style that Manly play, you know, unlocks him.
He's enjoying his footy and you can see it.
Yeah, and the Cowboys. Look, Drinkwater is about to explode. Broncos need to be very careful of Drinkwater this weekend.
Absolutely. Dill, what are your three teams and all three players or both?
Cowboys, Raiders, and Penrith, obviously. Three players are Brooksy and the two centres for Penrith, Isaac Togo and the other guy,
Phelan, mate,
Nate.
is that the one?
Isaac Togo, and yeah, I
Tongo.
can't remember the other guy's name, but yeah, the centres for Penrith have been outstanding. And Luke Brooksy, I tipped
Sione
him at the start of the
Tuarua,
year to have.
that's the other one.
Yes,
I'm
that's
yeah.
right.
Sorry, continue.
I think Luke Brooks at the start of the year, I predicted him have a big standout year, and so far so good. I think he's been playing outstanding.
One quick question I've got for you guys. Obviously, as we all know, up to round 10, the Dally M points are visible to fans and whatnot. How is Nicho Hynes leading?
That is a great question.
How? I
Dally
got no idea. They got towelled up. Sorry,
M.
I know I'm getting loud, but they got towelled up. How is he leading?
Yeah, Dally
Granted,
M's
you
a
can be best.
slow student.
Exactly. Like, granted, you can be best on ground in a losing game. Absolutely. Obviously, the Clive Churchill wouldn't be awarded to players on a losing team if they didn't, you know. But how can you be doing that when your team is doing so badly so early in the season as well?
Yeah, I mean, look, they beat the Warriors purely based on defense and then came up clinical against the Dogs and obviously got towed by the Tigers. But I wouldn't even say Nicho Hynes was the best player in any of those games.
Neither would I.
Not
That's
even
what I'm
probably
saying.
top three.
No,
So
neither
I
would
don't
I.
know who's, have they put a name to who's doing the points?
No, but the thing is, for the points wise, for anyone that doesn't know, it's actually a panel of former players that decide each game. It's not play to make the criteria. You can't have played for those teams that are that because it's a different player, former player that gets assigned to each game
Yeah, and
as
do we
well.
know who did those games
I
at all?
don't, but I do know that Joe Nullavau is one of the voters, and so is Steve Menzies. I don't know what games they did, but I'm guessing wouldn't be any games that Nullavau played like for teams that he played for, and it wouldn't be any Manly games for Steve Menzies.
Who else was up there on the leaderboard?
I don't know. I'll have to get back to you on that one, but it'll be very interesting. Dalian leaderboard 2024. All right. Let's find out. So we've got Nicho Hynes, the top four. Hynes, Tedesco, Papenhuyzen, and Trbojevic.
Yep.
Hynes on 12, Tedesco on 11, and Papenhuyzen and Trbojevic on 10 each.
Yeah. Yeah, I
So.
think most years it sort of goes to like the best player in one of the lesser sides.
Yeah.
Sometimes it goes to the, you know, best player, but for the last few years, you know, subject
Yep.
to Maybe in differing opinions, I think it's hasn't really gone to the best player.
No, definitely not, especially last year. Rightio. So we've got another topic. Obviously, the toughest 13 to ever play the game. So like a starting 13 of the toughest players you have watched or remember watching, etc. I'll go with mine because I have a full 13 plus three honorable mentions because I just couldn't leave him out without doing an honorable mention. Fullback Greg Inglis obviously goes without saying. Wingers Wendell Saylor and Chris Walker. The centers Michael Devia played with staples in his fucking head, and Keith Galloway took one of the biggest flying elbows to the head when he was as a center for the Sharks and then continued to play for the rest of his career. At the 5'8", we've got Brett Kenny. And halfback, we've got Jonathan Thurston. He was told he was too small to play. No team would sign him. In the props, we've got Shane Roepke, played a grand final with a broken arm. Hooker, we've got Preston Campbell. People are thinking, what do you mean? Why isn't he at 5'8"? He was one of the smallest blokes on the field, and he managed to play one of the fucking, hooker. Like, he's in the scrums, he's in this, that, the other, even though it was a few games, but he managed to do that. The other prop, David Cement Gillespie. What a weapon. Second row, I've put him in the second row because I couldn't put him at prop because I already had props chosen. Trevor, the Axe Gilmeister, literally checked himself out of hospital to go and play Origin. Tell me that's not tough. Another second rower, Ben Kennedy. Who remembers that bald bloody freak? What a beast of a
Yeah,
player he
sure
was.
do.
And locking it up, Scott Sattler. My three honorable mentions are Sam Burgess, played a grand final with a fractured eye socket. Glenn Lazarus, literally the brick with eyes. And Mal Meninga, what a fucking weapon he was. Yeah, that's my toughest 13 and three honorable mentions, so toughest 16, you could say. Let's go over to Trent if you've come up with the toughest 13.
Yeah, look, I'm not gonna double dip on your ones, but the ones that I had that wasn't on your list was Big Gordon Tallis.
Oh,
I
yep.
couldn't leave him off. I had to throw in a Panthers player there, Martin Lang.
Oh, what a beast.
I don't know whether he was just had an interesting running style or actually tough, but he definitely was tough with the way his running style was.
I care he was.
Tony Carroll.
Yep, Tunza. Yep.
Yeah,
What
he was tough
position would
as
you have him
nails.
in? Would you have him at center or would you have him in second row?
Oh, I'd probably have him in second row just when he
Yep.
started to slow down a little bit in the
Yep.
latter parts of his career. I'm going to throw in Cam McInnes.
Yeah, okay.
Honestly, I don't think in the current game there's anyone tougher than Cam McInnes.
Yeah, I mean, 80 tackles in a game. Isn't that
Well,
insane? Agreed.
his head agrees with that as well, the poor fella. Post career, there's going to be a bit going on there. I've got James Graham.
Okay, yep.
Yep,
Gem.
he's my prop. You mentioned Sam Burgess. At my half, I actually had Cooper Cronk for
Okay.
his broken scapula, I believe, in that
Fuck yeah,
grand
and he played that
final.
grand final. Yeah,
Yeah.
geez, I didn't even think of that.
And at lock, I had Dallas Johnson.
Ooh, good shout. Good shout. Good names. What about you, Dill?
Yeah, so while Trent did that team, I've actually changed a few because I just couldn't
Oh.
leave him out. So I'll start with my fullback. It's Carmichael Hunt.
Yeah, okay.
Just the tough runs he used to do back, just straight into the fence. Wingers are Chris Mununu and Blake Ferguson.
Oh, yeah, with that
Yeah,
busted nose,
Fergo's
yep.
a good one.
Yeah. Seen the other day, I actually got a bit of advice off Paul Gallen. He said that Blake Ferguson is one of the toughest players he's ever played against.
Hey, jeez.
Yeah. So the centers are Steve Maddie and Greg Inglis.
Oh, Mad-Eye. Jeez, what a
Now,
fucking
I think it's just
tackler.
in the halves, I think it's a sin to leave him out, Jeff Toobey and Jonathan Thurston.
Okay.
Front rowers are Shane Webke. I originally had Adrian Morley in there and I've changed it to Sam Burgess.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
And my back rowers are Michael Crocker and Ian Roberts.
Yep.
And my lock forward is Dallas Johnson.
Yeah, nice. Nice, nice, nice. I love how we all have similar players, but also very interesting lists for sure. Fuck, that's Ripper.
Rate it. Rate it.
Oh. Absolutely rate it. You know what? I'd love to see our three sides go up against each other somehow. I don't know how because we've got very similar teams, but it'd be very interesting. Top five grand finals, is this of all time or like of our teams? Because like some of our
Just
teams
whatever
don't play in
you
five grand
just,
finals.
yeah, whatever.
Just
Yeah.
whatever you think.
Okay, well, I'll go with in no particular order, but number one, 2015. even as a Broncos fan, and it stings, it was one of the greatest spectacles of rugby league grand finals you'll ever see. Only grand final so far that's gone to Golden Point. It was incredible. Unfortunately for us, but you just cannot deny it. Even Kevin Walters, before he was coach of the Broncos, said that's the greatest grand final I've ever watched. Another grand final that stands out to mind for me is the 89 grand final, Raiders against the Balmain Tigers. Balmain were coming back to try and win it again after losing it in 88, and they get gypped again. Raiders winning their first grand final, absolutely ripper. Probably go 91. Panthers, again, winning their first grand final. It meant so much because they'd lost in 1990 to the Raiders, and they'd managed to beat them in 91. New Jersey, gone from Dada uniforms to the licorice all sorts. Incredible. Incredible game, incredible year for them. I'd probably go, obviously, 06 because it's the grand final that I remember more so for the Broncos. I was alive. I mean, I was alive and at the other ones as well, but I was conscious, at least. I was at the game. It was incredible. And I'm going to have to go with 99 Storm Dragons. What a fucking comeback from the Storm in that grand final. Granted, I may not have been conscious at the time, but that was one of my most watched videotapes that my dad bought from like Video Easy or something. And I literally watched, I flogged that thing so hard. It became like a scratched disc of a videotape sort of thing. It was so good. Hugh Jackman sang the national anthem for anyone who may not realize. Like he was one of those people. It's such a great fucking game. Glenn Lazarus' last NRL game, 5 grand final wins with 3 different clubs. Those are my grand finals. Let's go with Trent. What are your 5?
Yeah, yeah. I remember that 99 one as well. The controversy in the corner with the tackle.
Oh, yeah.
That was huge. I had in there 97 as my earliest memory. That was the first grand final.
Which 97?
Super League, Cronulla.
Yeah. Fuck yep. Yeah. Not the Knights, yep. Manly. Fuck them.
yep. That's right. 2006, I was at that game as well. Broncos beating the Roosters. Another awesome game. 2015, you can't forget about, of course, which you've already touched on. From a Panthers perspective, 2021, huge to get the monkey off the back after the Storm the year before. Going to the game, that Storm game in 2020 was just heartbreaking. I think we lost one game all season and I don't know what happened in that game still. It still hurts even though we won 3 in a row.
Yeah. That's the thing, you know, like if the Broncos had won last year's grand final, sure, I'd be like, fuck yeah, but 2015 would still sting so fucking hard.
Yeah, fully. And then 2021, 22, 23, but 2021 with the Crichton intercept, you know, I'm always going to remember that. And obviously as recent to last year, that's always going to, be lifelong in the memory, not for just Panthers fans, but I think it's probably one of the greatest grand finals of all time as well.
Oh, not just that, but it's in our lifetime a three-peat. The last time that happened was in the 80s, and I don't think any of us were alive for those 81, 82, 83 grand finals. So, yeah, absolutely incredible scenes. Dylan, what are your top 5, bro?
Yeah, so at number 5, I've got 2014 Souths v Bulldogs. And I just think that love or hate Souths, you know, I just think that was so good for the game to see Souths win it. Number 4, I've got 2021 Grand Final Penrith versus Rabbitohs, and I was actually at that game, sitting in the Burrow, and was right there when Crichton intercepted the ball and kicked the ball into the crowd. It was just an epic Grand Final. Still don't know how South Sydney lost that, but number 3, 2004 Bulldogs versus Roosters,
good game.
And just purely based on Andrew Ryan's tackle, that was just literally saved the game. Saved the grand and won the grand final for the Doggies. And number 2, 2006 Broncos versus Storm. I was 11 years old. Last time we won a comp, still remember the feeling. Haven't felt it since, unfortunately.
Yeah, not yet.
And at number 1, I've got the 2016 Sharks v Melbourne grand final. In my opinion, that's my favorite grand final of all time. Just the game had everything. The lead changed many times, and that try from Fifita was just incredible. So.
Oh, absolutely. Can we talk about real for a second? Those 3 grand finals in a row in 2014, 15, 16, it was great for the game. South winning for the first time in 40 plus years. Then the Cowboys winning their first ever. And then the Sharks winning their first ever. What an insane 3 years of rugby league we had that year. Like, say what you want about the players and the stop start and all that sort of shit, but what a fucking time, you know? What are your thoughts on those years, Trent?
Oh, incredible for the game. I mean, Rabbitohs, of course, coming back from extinction to win that was incredible with, memories of Sam Burgess and, GI with the Goanna. And then you've got, 15 with, that Golden Point match, incredible. And then, who can forget about 16? I did want to make a shout out to 2003, the Scotty Sattler tackle.
Yeah, what a tackle.
I don't know how I forgot about that one, but
Yeah,
yeah, that
facts.
was,
Honorable mention of that one,
yeah,
absolutely.
unbelievable.
Poor old Toddy Byrne got blamed by Ricky Stewart, and as in for losing the game from that point on. I shit you not, because I've interviewed Todd, and he said in no uncertain terms that Ricky, without using the words, did blame him and shunned him, and it led to him
Really?
being unsettled at the club and wanted to leave the Roosters. And he did. Within a year and a half, he was gone to the Warriors. So, yeah. And I unfortunately definitely feel for him. You would unfortunately feel like you'd lost the grand final. Just how Ben Hunt would have felt like that in 2015. Even though it wasn't totally his fault, he would have felt like that for quite a while. Probably still does. Rightio, speaking of Broncos players, Dylan, which Broncos fixture do you look most forward to every year? And for you, Trent, I'll say the Panthers fixture. Which match do you always look forward to? For me, as a Broncos fan, you cannot go past Broncos Cowboys, and obviously now Broncos Dolphins as well. What are your thoughts, Dil? What are your game or two games per year that you love?
Yeah, Broncos and Cowboys are the one that I look forward to every year. But from last year, it was always Broncos and Melbourne because I was just waiting for us to break the hoodoo, and we've done it now. So
I
you can
can't.
scratch that. Yeah.
Exactly. I'll say if I'm going with one that's not a Broncos game, I'd have to say I look forward to Manly Melbourne. Ever since that Battle of Brookvale in 2011, it doesn't have as much oomph in as it does anymore, but I just hope. I always
Who
love
was it?
watching it.
Adam Blair? Adam Blair
Adam
and
Blair, who
Stewart?
I've had on the podcast, and Glenn Stewart, yeah. And
Yeah,
when I, again, when Adam Blair, I spoke to him about it, he goes, "Mate, people forget that I won two or three grand finals. All they remember is the Battle of Brookvale. People forget he's the most capped New Zealand Kiwi of all time because of the Battle of Brookvale." That sort of thing.
crazy.
He's now coach of the Warriors SG Ball team. Again, people only think of him as Battle of Brookvale, but yeah, it was fucking good though. Swinging in and everything. Oh, bring it back. And also, people forget David Williams broke his neck 10 minutes before that happened.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, exactly. People forget that happened because of the battle, the punch on that happened. Anyway, Trent, what's your Panthers game that you always love watching each year?
Oh, look, you can't go past Panthers Eels.
Yeah, Battle of the West.
You know what, but we've created some rivalries over the years, like Panthers Storms always, a good one. And now I think Panthers Broncos is a huge rivalry. But then you've got the 2003 grand final. We're playing the Roosters this Thursday night. I'll be at the match.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Where's
I
that?
don't
Is
have
it in Sydney or is it in Penrith?
it's at Allianz at the new
Oh, very
stadium.
nice.
So yeah,
Dylan
keen
just
for that.
dropping his
But
lollies.
I'll be honest, every game for me is a big
Winner.
one.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair enough. Dylan, were there any viewers' questions?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get right now, and my phone fell. So sorry. Sorry about
Fair enough.
that. Just need to flip it the other way around for a sec.
No
So
worries.
Angela McGowan asks, thoughts on Tevita Pinga Jr. rejoining the Broncos ranks?
He's not. Unless he's signed a contract, he's not. Even Walters has said he's not interested.
Oh,
It's
there's rumors. There's rumors he's gonna join.
there's rumors. That's all they are. Rumors. He's not
Yeah.
going to. The Broncos got rid of him, and specifically, Kevy got rid of him because of the culture issue at the Broncos. And look at how far the Broncos have come. Bringing him back will just undo all of that. Because unfortunately, he was at the Dogs, was like, nah, fuck this. I don't like to be coached by anyone but myself, etc. Goes to boxing, fails at that, and is like, oh, okay, I'll go back into the NRL, become a fucking, go back into the NRL. No, you're not coming back to the Broncos. You had your chance at the Broncos. Go to another club if you want to start, but don't come to the Broncos. So no,
Yeah, and I've got
I
another one.
realistically don't see
Yeah.
him going back.
Fair point.
Fair point. Another one from Lincoln Sparks. Why is Pakes not on the bench? Corey Oates deserves a bench spot as well, which he has.
Yeah, so we'll disregard that.
Yeah.
What do you guys
Thoughts of
think about
Pakes?
that bench?
About what bench?
Well, Kevy sort of said after the game he's never going to have a bench like he did again on the weekend. And now they've included Corey Oates. Do you think, how do you think he's going to be utilized?
He's not. I think he's giving him a bit of false hope because of he complained last week of being not in the team.
Yeah,
I think
right.
he'll be utilized as a second rower and he won't like it. And this is Kevy's way of edging him out to looking for another club for next year.
You don't think it's cover in case there's an injury in the back line?
That is definitely a possibility, but I don't think so. Because unfortunately, Corey Oates is, he's been a bit of a prima donna the last few weeks.
Yeah, I haven't seen him play.
Yeah.
Has he been playing well in the
He's, I mean, probably. I've not watched his games because I've been focusing on the women's games in the Q Cup, as in the BMD Cup. But I'll have a look at his stats and I'll get back to you. Dylan, what's the next question?
Eva Dunning asks, why is the NRL against the Broncos?
Why is what?
Why is the NRL against the
Of the
Broncos?
NRL. Well, as a Broncos podcast, we can say what we want, but we're not going to say that here. People could say the Panthers are a protected species. People could say, why does the NRL hate the Broncos? That's all just up to personal opinion and speculation. I personally don't think they are against the Broncos because I know a lot of people who would argue that the NRL is with the Broncos, giving them so many Thursday games and Friday games and all that, even though they forget that the Broncos are literally sponsored by Channel 9. So it's probably part of the contractual obligation of the NRL to give them and Channel 9 games. So yeah, I don't know. As I said,
Agreed.
I don't see them as against the Broncos. I also don't see them as in favor with the Broncos. So
It's funny
yeah.
that like big syndrome, isn't it? Like you're either loved or hated. When you're doing really, really well, you're always hated by most.
And then
But
when
when
you're
you're the biggest
doing
club
really
in the
shit,
NRL, yeah, there's
yeah. And then
always
when you're
pressure on
doing
the Broncos.
exactly, but also, and then when you're doing really shit, your critics get even louder saying, oh, they should be doing better. I remember a story. This will get everyone a good laugh. One bloke, a mutual colleague that I know, puts $50 at the end of every season through tab on the Broncos to get the spoon, right? He hates them that much. And the year they got the spoon, tab didn't pay out. He puts the bet on as soon as the
Why?
market's open. I don't know. As soon as the market's open at the end of, at like, not at the end of each season, but like when they open in like the November or the December, he always puts $50. And as in for the following season for Broncos to get the spoon. They got the spoon, tab didn't pay out. So now he's sought a solicitor's help to get tab to pay out. So,
Jeez, wow.
Up your game, tab. Anyway, continue, Dylan. What's the next question?
Got one more here from Luke Dixon, and he says, poor back row depth.
Paul, what?
Poor back row depth is what he
Oh,
said.
Paul. I thought you said
So,
Paul. I'm like, Paul who? Paul
nah.
back row depth. I don't know. We got Fletcher Baker, Jaden Hunt on debut. I mean, there's only one way to move forward with a team, and that's to blood players, unfortunately.
I like Xavier Wilson coming back to the side. I thought he was massive against the Panthers.
In size or in game? Because agreed with both.
No,
He's quite
I just.
huge.
Even at the ground, like he is massive. Like seeing him play live, just the contact. I don't know why he was left out of the side in the first place. To be honest with you, he did not look out of place at all. In fact, he looked elite. I would go that far.
Okay. And speaking of, just before we go into our tips for the week, quick mention on that topic of players around the ground and stuff of the game. Shout out to Reece Walsh, who all he probably wanted to do was to ha get home. Who, because he had to drive home, he couldn't fly home. All he probably wanted to do was get home and rest up. But he stuck around for about an hour, from what I'm led to believe and what tabloids have led us to believe, signing autographs, taking photos with not just Broncos fans, but kids in Panthers kits and all that. There's photos all around the place. Big, big shout out to him because the last thing he would want to do is that because he's dealing with a massive fucking headache, bloody cut to his face, busted up. He's probably just wanting. Like, I just wish I was home, but he did that. And that's a testament to the type of person that he is. I think he's definitely turned a corner since last year's debacles. What are your thoughts on that, Trent? Because you were at the game.
Yeah, oh, I think that's immense. I mean, not to mention he could only see out of one eye. I mean, getting thrown the ball and dropped it. and then sort of calling it quits on the sideline. But I think that just shows the character of Reece Walsh, and you know, signing that new contract is massive for the Broncos as well. Shout out to Reece for penning that deal. It's huge for the Broncos to lock him up for the next 5 years.
Absolutely. Rightio, tips, guys. Obviously, we've got Thursday through to Monday because it's Easter long weekend. So we've got a good long weekend of footy. Thursday night, we've got the Roosters up against the Panthers. I've tipped the Roosters. Who have you tipped, Trent and Dill?
I've actually gone for the Roosters. Obviously, Panthers fan through and through, but if I'm going with my head, I genuinely believe the Roosters are going to win. If we win, unreal. But I do think the Roosters, if the Roosters don't win, I don't know whether it's going to be an amazing feat for Penrith or poor on the Roosters' behalf. But if Roosters think they're a serious title threat, they'd want to beat us this weekend.
Absolutely agreed. Dill, who've you tipped?
Yeah, I'm still haven't made my mind up on this yet. I'm probably going to go Roosters, but
That's
I've
fair.
got no idea.
That's fair enough. Friday games. We've got Dogs, Rabbitohs, Cowboys, Broncos. I've tipped the Bulldogs and the Cowboys. Dylan, who have you tipped?
I'm just waiting for Souths to finally win. I think this is the week they finally do it.
That's me with the Bulldogs every week. I tip
Yeah.
them every week because the one
Bulldogs
week
will
they
probably
do
win,
win,
but
no
I
one will
think
tip them.
Souths.
That's fair. You've tipped Souths. What about yourself,
Yeah.
Trent?
I actually went to Rabbitohs headquarters yesterday.
Oh, Sykes, okay.
And I'm going to go out on a whim and say the Dogs are going to win. I think Rabbitohs are in shambles.
That's insider knowledge you guys heard here first. And I've tipped the Cowboys. Dill, who've you tipped?
Broncos.
Okay, fair. Is that with the head or with the heart?
With both.
Okay,
I think
fair.
having Adam Reynolds back is gonna, yeah, be the difference there.
Okay, fair. And Trent, who've you tipped?
Broncos by one golden point. I'm sticking to that.
That's right. And then obviously Saturday's games, we've got Dragons against Manly, Dolphins against the Titans. I've gone Dragons and Dolphins. Who have you tipped, Trent?
Wow, Dragons. That's huge.
Yeah.
I was just about to say Manly by a cricket score. And yeah, Dolphins, Titans, geez, after watching their last 2 weeks, I mean, I'm keen to see how Campbell goes and Fifita now that they're back. But yeah, oh, Dolphins round one were horrendous as well. So this could be a slog fest, but I'm going to lock in the Dolphins purely on the Titans being horrendous.
Fair enough. What about yourself, Dill? Who have you tipped for those two games?
So, did you say Dragons are playing Manly? Is that right? Yeah, I think Manly win that pretty comfortably, and Dolphins win pretty comfortably as well. I think that'll be close, but I think it'll be like a sort of a 12-point game.
Fair. Fair and fair again. And obviously, Sunday's games, we've got the Wahs up against the Knights, and we've got the Raiders up against the Sharks. I've gone the Wahs and the Raiders. Trent, who have you tipped?
Both these games could go either way. With the Warriors, Knights, look, they're back at home, the Warriors, so it's hard to go past them. So I'm going to lock them in, but not by much. And God, the next game couldn't be any worse. They're both terrible to watch. Let's just lock in. I'm going to go for an upset. I'm going to lock in the Raiders to beat the Sharks.
Yeah, fair. Well, this is the game of the round with the margin in the NRL tipping. I've gone Raiders by 14.
I'll go by two.
By two, fair enough.
Yeah, six,
Dylan,
eight.
6-8. Oh, geez, okay. Dylan, I mean, you know what? That was one of those games a few years ago at Cogra. They played each other, and it was like 12-8 or something like that. It was raining as. Dylan, who have you tipped out of Warriors versus Knights and Sharks versus Raiders?
Yeah, over there, I think Warriors will get the job done. And I think, yeah, Raiders as well.
And final game, our Monday game, we've got the Eels taking on the Tigers. Another battle of the West, you could say. I've tipped the Tigers just on hope. Hope they have a good game because, they had a good win at Leichhardt this past weekend. It may instill a bit of hope, a bit of faith, a bit of confidence amongst the team. And the Eels getting the win last week may be a bit overconfident, thinking they can get an easy win. And that'll be their downfall against the Tigers this coming weekend. What are your thoughts, Dill? I'll get your tip on that one first.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go Tigers. I think Eels, they've had two big losses for the week. Bryce Cartwright and Mitchell Moses are out for a long time. So I think Tigers will probably get the job done.
Fair enough. And what about yourself, Trent?
Yeah, look, heart says Tigers, head says Eels. I'm super excited to see Blaze Talangi in action in the halves.
That'll be good.
Shout out to him. Massive commendation for his performance last week on debut. Big responsibility, Dylan Brown shifting to half and him into the 5'8 role. So, yeah, I'd like to see him excel. So, yeah, let's lock in the Eels, but hoping Tigers.
Fair enough. And that literally wraps up the Bronx Nation podcast episode for this week. Obviously, want to give a big, big shout out to our sponsors, Energy Pro. Thank you, Trent, for coming on the podcast, and also Toey Thongs. Use our code BronxNation10 at checkout for 10% off Toey Thongs, and our code BN10 for 10% off at checkout of Energy Pro. Dylan, I'll see you next week, and Trent, we'll probably get you on again at some point throughout the season as a guest panelist as again.
Yeah, thanks guys for having me on. Enjoy your Easter. Don't eat too many chockies.
Nah, absolutely not.
Thanks,
Take
Trent.
care. Thanks,
Thank you,
guys.
guys.
Have a good one.